Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
When everything is about you, your feelings, and how you feel, you have not understood the message of Christianity.
The journey of faith is not meant to leave us stagnant, but rather calls us into spiritual maturity. The ultimate goal is Christ-likeness. This week, Pastor Neil continues his teaching on Our Divine Next. He explains that just as we expect a grown man to act like a grown man, God also expects us to grow and live like spiritually mature believers. As believers, it is essential to recognize our current spiritual state. Pastor Neil identifies three types of people in this journey: the natural man, worldly and unsaved, the spiritual man, saved, led by the Holy Spirit, and the carnal man, saved, led by what his carnal mind desires. Pastor Neil says, the challenge is clear. Who are you growing into? Are you actively pursuing spiritual maturity, becoming more like Christ? Or are you lingering in a place of compromise? True spiritual growth requires intentionality, obedience, and surrender to His transformative power. Will you embrace Our Divine Next and allow Christ to shape you into His image? Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Our Divine Next Part 5.
So we have seen that there is a natural expectation for us to grow. There is a general expectation for which people think that people have grown. But let's look at the divine expectation. Divine expectation. What does God expect of us? He expects us to grow. Raise your right hand and say with me, God wants me to grow. All right. So please, let's define spiritual maturity. What is His goal? It's one word. It's called Christ likeness. To become like what? Come on, say that with me. To become like anything outside that, you have not grown. That's why preachers of today, including me, needs to be whipped. Because when I teach you success, I have not helped you until I teach you how to conform to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8. Come on, let's press into this a little bit. Christ likeness. Say that with me. I ought to be like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I'll read from the New International Reader's Version. He says, God planned that those He had chosen will become like His Son. Will become like the traditional NIV will say that we will conform. The word conform is made up of two words. All right? If we slash it into the Latin Vulgate, the word con means with or within. The word form is that which gives shape to anything. So, for example, when you look at this bottle, it has a cylindrical what? Form or shape. What it simply means is that if you put this water into this form, then this water is conforming to the shape of this bottle. So if I decide that this form here is square, but actually it is what? Cylindrical. It doesn't matter my determination. What it means is that whatever shape or form you are in, you will become it. You don't tell me my friends are all alcoholics and you will not be. You will be. Because you will conform to it. If your friends are people who are prayerful, you will become that. So if I want to become prayerful, I drop certain people and I bring certain people into my fold. In the name of Jesus, as somebody said, amen. My heart aches that my children are not growing. You want religion, I won't give it to you. I want you to grow. So God's expectation is that you become like His what? Oh, come on. God's expectation is that we become like His. But God, don't you care about issues? He does. But until you become like His Son. The last time you were missing in church, until somebody talked to you to come back, what is it that made you stay home? What is it that made you stay home? You tell me. If we become like Christ as husbands, you won't go chase somebody's wife. Will you? Why are the men quiet? If the wives become like Christ, you want to know what that one is? Listen to this message over and over, and the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. Talk. Sometimes learn to just keep quiet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 9, because now we're looking at God's expectation. His expectation that we become like his children. We conform to his children. Right? 1 Corinthians 1, 9, are you there? Read with me if you can, shall we? Go. God is faithful. Who holds you into fellowship with his son? The word fellowship means to share in. God has called us so we share in the nature of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 27. Read with me, shall we? Go. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Most of the time we say these words and I don't think we understand them. Paul here is speaking about the mystery of Christ, which has been hidden in the ages past. What the mystery simply is that no human being can become what God wants them to be, conforming to the image of Christ, until Christ himself is in you. The word glory simply means to unveil the nature of something. So he said the only way you and I can actually unveil the nature of Christ in us is for Christ to actually be where? In us. Yet you want us to preach to you 7 steps to success. You will get 7 steps, but you will never manifest the nature of Christ. That is why we have way too many babies in the house of God. And the kingdom of darkness, seemingly, like they are winning. Why? Because when believers have to stand up, they are only praying about their needs. When will you get ready to go get a soul? Somebody will say, yeah, did I choose the wrong time to come to church? No, you chose the right time to be here. Because we are working on your destiny. Until Christ is formed. If Christ is formed in me, don't you think my wife would naturally love me? The problem is, it's too much about us. Let me give you the key. The key is this. When everything is about you, your feelings, and how you feel, you have not understood the message of Christianity. You haven't. That thing you are doing is not called Christianity. It's called something else. I don't know its name. But the one that we talk about, which is Christ, you have to lose it. Didn't Jesus say that for you to have life, you must what? Lose your life. That's what he meant when he said those words. Christ in you becomes the expectation, the assurance, the hope that you will one day manifest Christ. So if something else is in you manifesting Christ, it's a problem. Now, can I bring this down? Can I bring this down? So you came to church right at the entrance. The usher was having a bad day. They didn't smile. You walked in, sat down. The other person didn't smile. Pastor showed up here and he's preaching Christ in you, the hope of glory. These people, they don't laugh. Oh, child, you are not a serious bone. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the scripture says the kingdom of heaven, what? And who takes it by force? Not the weak, not the wimps. There are too many wimpy believers. We don't rise up for anything. Young people, listen to me. You don't just get into a relationship because of your feelings. Until Christ is formed in you, don't get a relationship, because that relationship will confuse Christ in you. All right, now let's understand Colossians 1:27, because everybody say glory. There are three words you must understand. If you go back to the book of Romans chapter 8, he talks about those whom God foreknows, he justifies. Everybody say justification. Put up those three words for me. Those whom God knows, he what? Justifies. Then he says those whom he knows, he glorifies. So Christ in you, he does the work of the sanctification so that you can be what? Glorified. In other words, if I get born again today, I have been justified. Somebody says, just as if I have never sinned. But the truth is, you still have the old nature. So sanctification, which is the work of Christ, which is Christ in you, must take place so that you can show his glory. Are you with me? That's a lot of theology I unpacked in a few seconds to you. So all of your Christian life is not justification, because justification began the day you got born again. Glorification will happen the day you see Christ. But the work of sanctification is what takes place whilst we are here. And there must be a measurement. I said there must be a... So when you read the scripture teaches us, don't have time within this small period to illustrate all of it and read all the scriptures, that the day you get born again, you like an infant who just got born again. Over time, you need to grow up to his level. We are talking about sanctification now. So when I'm here, that's justification. I just began. The Bible calls you babies or infants. Then you grow to this level. Then from this level, you have to grow into adolescence. Then the writer of the book of 1 John says, now you have to become a father. Notice the use of the word what? Father. The ability to reproduce. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, he says, I write to you, little children. I write to you, he jumps from here, fathers. But then I write to you, young men. Some of us, from the day we got born here and we got to this stage, we have had spiritual dwarfism. We don't grow. We get stuck here. If you read George Orwell's Animal Farm about the woman whose clock was stopped, it's like you get stuck right there, like that. You don't go anywhere. God wants you to be where? So after a while, we need to see progress. So you shouldn't be like this all the time. There has to be a point where we need to see you like this. And then there has to be a point when, if you are not like this, you are like this. You're getting it, right? The question I want to ask this morning is, which one are you? Where are you in your sanctification? Galatians chapter 4. I'll end soon, don't worry. Are you learning anything today? And for those of you who just had your graduation, don't do the natural. Just don't do just the what? Natural. That, oh, you move, you finish high school, so you go to college. Let your spiritual life also what? Change. Grow in that. I think we've seen our young people on fire. My issue is with you adults. Now your kids are praying at a level. I don't know if you are praying at the same level. Okay, Galatians 4:19. Let's read. Here is what I call a pastoral expectation. We have seen what I call the general expectation, the natural expectation, the divine expectation, and then a pastoral. Paul is saying, I have an expectation, but it is based on the divine what? Expectation. Read with me, shall we, everybody go? My dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. So I am not meant to preach to you about success. I'll say it again. I may say things that will help you to become successful, but my goal as a pastor is to teach you until Christ is formed in you. Ephesians chapter 4. Come on, go with me. Let's round up on this really quick. Are you in Ephesians 4, starting from verse 11? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here he talks about Christ, who is given all kinds of gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Why? Verse 12. To equip his people for the work of service. So who is supposed to do the work of the service? Am I supposed to do the work? The answer is no. Have you seen a shepherd who takes care of sheep? One day, got pregnant and gave birth to sheep. Have you seen one before? So what gives birth to sheep? A sheep that begets what? So if people are not here in this building, it is you who is not working. It is your work. My work is to simply equip you. And child, I've been equipping you. Sometimes I believe I have overfed you. Sometimes I think some of the stuff I've taught even go over your head. I'm sure you don't even understand some of the principles and the things I say. But I expect you to go back and listen over and over and over and over until Christ is formed. Because you are expecting that I'll come here and say, God has shown me all. He has opened my eyes, oh. He's been opening our eyes, but we are still the same. So by now, we should know that there is something wrong with that. That's why I'm here today. I'm telling you, change your attitude. If today is your first day in the building, I'm normally not like this. I'm nice. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. The next verse, 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God. So this is always about Christ. And become what? Circle, highlight, underline that word. So he says our focus is so that the people will become. The people will become. Sometimes the preachers are not matured. But that is the ones we like. The ones that will come here and use big words. I came in the authority of the heavenly being. Today we will have divinity meet humanity. And then we say things, then you just get flabbergasted by that. Me, I'll come here simple and short. I will get you in your face to help you to get conformed to Christ. To get conformed to Christ. Those big doors, what are they held by? Small hinges. It's not the big things. It is the little things. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of who? Christ in you. To become like him. This is why the apostles, the prophets. So if somebody stands up and prophesy and do not help people to become mature, attaining to the fullness of Christ, he's a false prophet, period. Pastor, you can't judge. Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, those who are spiritual have the ability to judge. Read the Bible. Read it. Are you with me? Verse 14 is the one I like. Can we all read together if you can, please? Then we will no longer be infants. Pause. So he talks about the matured, and now he's talking about the... Remember the three people that were here, the infant, the adolescent, and the fathers, okay? So he says, then you will no longer be what? Infants. What are the characteristics of the infant? Let's go back. Go back to verse 13. Look at the characteristics of the matured. Those who have attained to the measure of the fullness of Christ, matured. Infant, verse 14, go to it. Tossed back and forth by the waves. That is symbolism. Let's understand the symbolism. Next sentences. Blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Today they hear this program is there. Boom. He's telling you, you are an infant. Blown here and there by every wind of what? Teaching. And by the cunning craftiness. When people start, they use words, you know, man. Charlie, the guy is good, oh, he's good. Listen to the words. But you are still in your sin. You are not conforming to the image of Christ. The focus is conforming. See, when I preach and teach, my focus is not to make you happy. My focus is to shake the nest so that I can have some eaglets start learning how to what? Fly. The other one I know how to do, though. The other one that sometimes we like, I know how to do it. But no, I believe in taking my time, taking you through scriptures, getting in your face, helping you. So until Christ is what? And I know you like it. But today I'm here to wake you up. Are you learning anything? Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheme. They read Psalm 96 and they talk about the 96 blessings. That's the one you like. But child, you know by now that you have given $96 for the 96 blessings and you got nothing back. I'm not here to bash no preacher. I'm here to expose the error in the body of Christ that you are gradually gravitating to. And it will destroy you. There has to be a balance. There are some also who believe they are what is called in Acts chapter 17. They are like the Stoics and the Epicureans, the intellectuals that came to Paul in the city of Athens. Paul looks at them and says, here are the Epicureans, those who believe that it's all about knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of
knowledge.
Really? Not all the time. Because knowledge in itself don't kill. If you don't do anything with the knowledge, you can have lots of it and you'll be the same. Cunning craftiness. You know, if you give me my own will, sometimes I have to bend to you a little bit. I would never use an anointing oil. Because if the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the oil, why should I have to use it again? But I tell you, if I say, let's pray that the Spirit of God will work in you, most of you will get discouraged. But as soon as I pull, who wants to be anointed today? This place will be full. Like that. I'm going to pour oil on you. And the person is shaking. Because their faith is in this. So sometimes, at least to get you so I can pray for you, I have to bring a bottle around. But our confidence must not be in this. Our confidence must be where? In God. We say we are in the New Testament, but we serve as if we are still in the Old Testament. Are you matured or you are an infant? Ask the person sitting next to you. Please don't get angry with them. They are only acting on what I asked them to do. Are you matured or you are an infant? Or are you in between? You see, that is not a question that you should even worry about when somebody asks you. Why did you ask me that? Because the characteristics are there. Tossed back and forth. Today you are husband, tomorrow you are not. Today you are angry, tomorrow you are not. Let's just be honest. Women are always going to be women. And men will always be what? Until Christ is formed in us, we are those two things. So when I hear people say, when I look at my wife, women, they will always be women. It is because I am not seeing Christ formed in you. That's why. Because if Christ is in there, we're different. We are what? So how can you go to church this many years? And I preach this hard for this many years. And Christ is not forming you. Hell is real. Hell is what? Mm-hmm. Can I address something? Everybody look at me. Stop looking down. Look at me. If there is a carriage way, a dual carriage way, one heads north, the other one heads south. On the southbound, there is a bridge. And then when you were traveling heading north, you realized that the bridge is broken. On your way, you saw some young people with their, they were sitting in their convertible and they were like blasting music and they were having fun. what will you naturally do if you care? You start honking and start giving them signal that the bridge ahead is what? It's broken. When preachers like me signal, you think we are stopping you from your joy. But I know that there is a bridge ahead of you. You can rejoice like this, oh, but it won't be long. The sad part is, I will get called too when the trouble comes. Sometimes I stand by some of you and I help you. But there is everything on the inside of me that just want to take a knock like this and do, bam, I told you. But I said, Father, I have to just keep the stuff and still help you. So you see, I'm holding them. God will be with you. May the Lord be with you. But there's the other side of my brain that says, if I get a chance, I am going to give you a hard knock. It takes a man who loves you to tell you these truths. There's a broken bridge. It's ahead. Don't think I'm just making noise. I'm just telling you, it will destroy you. This newfound happiness ain't going nowhere. It will end just at the bridge. Don't be tossed to and fro. Read your Bible. Read it. The Bible is not anything extraordinary. Who gives you 66 books about himself and wants to hide something? Somebody interviewed me on the radio and told me, oh, you have 3 books and I read it, so I know you. The guy said he knows me because of 3 books. Somebody gave us 66. We should know him. Because he's made some stuff plain and simple. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read the first 3 verses. When Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, he had, through his missionary journey, been to Corinth. This is the 5th year, and he is replying. In other words, these Christians have been born again, have become infants for 5 years. And after 5 years, Paul is writing like this. He says, brothers and sisters, I couldn't speak to you as if you were guided by the Holy Spirit. King James Version says, I could not speak to you as if you are spiritual. Everybody say spiritual. 3 groups of people. There's a spiritual man, there is a natural man, and then there's a carnal Christian. And I bet you, most of us, we are in the carnal state. Let's read. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't speak to you as if you were guided by the Holy Spirit, because the one who is guided by the Holy Spirit is spiritual. The carnal one is guided by his own senses. And you may say, use your head. Do you actually know what you're saying? When you say that, hey, we are Christians, let's be practical. You are trying to say, don't be a spiritual man. Be carnal. Pay attention when you say things like that. I know the people who claim they are spiritual to, they are pseudo-spiritual. Because sometimes they misbehave. I had to speak to you as if you were following the ways of the world. You aren't growing as Christ wants you to. You are still like what? Could it be that you were a baby? You are 50 years old. But in Christ, after 20 years, you are still a baby. Women got hormones. Men got hormones too. They just have too much. I need you to follow me because I'm going somewhere with it. Sometimes some women hide behind their hormones to misbehave in the marriage and in the house and in the church. We are like babies. So when your wife does something, I'm going to show her I'm the man. Where is Christ formed in you? Do you realize it's now you? I am. But if it is Christ formed in you, you will not say, I. You will say, oh, my wife has done something that just as Christ still loves the church, in spite of me and you, our behavior, I love her. Verse 2. So Paul says they are spiritual men and they are babies, carnal. The words I spoke to you were like milk. Why? Because they were babies, not like solid food. You weren't ready for solid food yet, and you still aren't ready for it. Some of you, after 20 years, you still want milk. Christ must be formed in you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.